So I'm sitting there this morning, perusing, saying, oh, God, there's really no news. Actually, there was news. There's, you know, like, oh, God, there's so many terrible things going on. Medicare Part D. It's like the Katrina of healthcare, and nobody notices. Nobody notices. And all of a sudden, and I'm listening to Alex, and I hear the news. What was it? 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. And it says, oh, new tape from Osama. And I said, oh, my God, a new tape from Osama. And then, you know, it starts all breaking, breaking, breaking. Now, the first thing I heard, I don't know if I heard it on the AP News. I'm Lynn Samuels, by the way. And I'm sorry, I didn't get... Now I have two people emailing me about what I am and am not allowed, what words one is and is not allowed to say when referring to gay people. Now I have two of them. Yesterday I only had one. I acquired a new one. So I didn't get your script. So I'm just going to have to do like my show. You know, like I want to say, because I didn't get your script about what I'm allowed to say. You fucking Nazis! The two of you. I get, you know, everybody has a script. You know, I'm sure there are things you're not allowed to say about Osama bin Laden either. You know, everybody, just fax the scripts. Just fax the scripts, and I'll just sit here. I won't say a word until I'm told by every special interest group, by every, you know, person who thinks that their little group is the most important thing on the face of the earth. You know, what I can and cannot say. God, I hate you people. You like Republicans. Just stop and think how much you like Republicans when you tell them, oh, you can't use this word and you can't say that word. And then you're just like them. And if you say this and you're blah, 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 oh, God. God in heaven, go do what it is I don't want to know about. So the first, I don't know whether it was the AP or what, but the first thing I heard about this tape, and I haven't had, I haven't been able to find it. He used the word, and it leapt out at me. Heartland. Heartland. So it sounds like you people out in Nebraska somewhere. Maybe you better be watching out. So I guess when, now Al Jazeera has only released four excerpts. It's a 10-minute tape, and they've only released four excerpts. I'd been wondering where Karl Rove was. I really had, you know? Because my immediate reaction, which was mocked by, you know, one of my right-wing nut friends, was, oh, please, this is not Osama bin Laden. You know, this is like the CIA. They do shit like this all the time. And then Garrett pointed out to me, CNN has a timeline. If you go to CNN.com, and they have a timeline. This is very interesting, of Osama bin Laden tapes. Because, you know, everybody, they push that raising the terror threat. You know, the alert level or whatever the hell they call that. They kind of went too far with that. Right? They just kind of went too far. Till it became a mockery and a joke. So then, I really never thought about this, but then, apparently, they decided that what they're going to use, you know, because his whole thing, what did Al Gore say Monday? Do we have that first part of Al Gore still? I think that's where he says it. Fear! 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 So what strikes more fear into the heart of anyone than Osama bin Laden threatening us? Yeah, the first one.
One of the other ways the administration has tried to control the flow of information has been by consistently resorting to the language and politics of fear,
yes,
in order to short-circuit the debate,
yes,
and drive its agenda forward without regard to the evidence. Fear drives out reason.
Yes!
Fear suppresses the politics of discourse and opens the door to the politics of destruction. The founders of our country faced dire threats. If they failed in their endeavors, they would have been hung as traitors.
It's actually hanged.
Their existence of our country was at risk. Yet in the teeth of those dangers, they insisted on establishing the full Bill of Rights. Is our Congress today in more danger than were their predecessors when the British Army was marching on the Capitol? Is the world more dangerous than when we faced an ideological enemy with tens of thousands of nuclear missiles ready to be launched on a moment's notice to completely annihilate the country? It is simply an insult to those who came before us and sacrificed so much on our behalf to imply that we have more to be fearful of than they did. And yet they faithfully protected our freedoms, and now it's up to us to do the very same thing.
And a mere 2 days later, we have a tape from Osama. Maybe they listened to his speech and they said, oh, time to unleash the tape, because you know what they're going to do. Now, there's a White House press conference going on now that obviously I can't hear it. And, you know, all the politicians, you know, because they would never politicize such a thing. You know what they're going to do. You know whose fault this is? You know why Osama bin Laden is saying, I can look at the polls as well as the next person. And the American people want the Americans out of Iraq. Now, whose fault is it that the Americans, that Osama bin Laden saw polls? He's sitting in a fucking cave looking at polls. Whose fault is it? Who are they going to blame? I'll give you three guesses. I can tell you what Hannity's going to say. Russia's on vacation this week, so he's not saying anything. He may have to, like, come back for this. Hannity, O'Reilly, Savage, oh my Michael, oh my God. Do you know what Michael Savage said the other day? There have not two consecutive days since he's been in high school that he hasn't had a drink of alcohol. And everybody else joins 12-step groups, but he doesn't have to because he doesn't have a problem. Ha ha! Oh my God! Oh my God. You know, if you just say that, and I knew somebody was like an AA, and he kept saying to me, you should go. And I'd say, I don't drink that much. And he'd say, oh, you're in denial. But if you're already going to admit you haven't gone two consecutive days since high school without having a drink, which certainly is not true of me. Jesus, I think you have a problem. Anyway, whose fault is it that Osama bin Laden can look at these polls? Whose fault is it? It's John Murtha's fault. It's Al Gore's fault. It's the fault of all the Democrats who are against the war. Howard Dean. Of course, no other Democrats are against the war. Would that it's moveon.org. And if Howard Dean wouldn't have said we can't win, Osama wouldn't be threatening us. It's these evil people that are leading a majority of the American citizens to turn against the war. That are leading Osama. That's exactly what they're going to say. I bet you Scott McClellan is saying that right now. That's what it is. If everybody would just be for Bush and be for the war, wouldn't... Because this is not a videotape. It's an audio tape. Look at it. I guess Al Jazeera hung back on some because always do. And you know what else Osama mentions in this tape? He mentions that Bush wanted to bomb Al Jazeera, something that I keep forgetting about, which is documented. I mean, they deny it. But people were at the meeting where Bush is saying to Tony Blair, hey, you know what would be fun? Let's bomb Al Jazeera. You know, they deny it, but they were not the only two people in the room. Or somebody was taking notes or something. I bet Bush would like to bomb the New York Times, too. So, you look at this list that Garrett found of when Osama has spoke. Could I ask another question? I mean, I don't like to bring this up. You know, it's a really touchy issue. This is worse than anal sex. How come Osama bin Laden is alive? How come he's alive? You know why he's alive? He's alive because if he were dead, they couldn't conveniently come up with these tapes. That's why. Do you think he wants to kill Osama? I mean, he said that he doesn't, you know. Remember what, a couple of years ago, he said, I don't think about him anymore. Oh, okay. Why would you think about the person who did 9/11? Well, it's assuming you think he did it. See, I'm constantly torn between the conventional wisdom that Osama did 9/11 and the fact that I really believe that Bush did it. Not Bush, you know, Cheney, Roe. Okay, so here's this timeline, this convenient timeline. We have not heard from Mr. Bin Laden for 13 months. 13 months. Now, how interesting is that? How interesting? Although he took 13 months off, he took 11 months off between 2/11, 2/03, and 1/5, 2/04. That's about 11 months. But we heard from him, oddly enough, the year 2004. Now, what happened in 2004? Let me put my thinking cap on. Gee, did we have an election? Yes, I believe we did. Oh, so we heard from Mr. Bin Laden on January the 5th of 2004, April the 14th, 2004, when he knew everybody would be home, fishing their income taxes. 4/5, that's April, May 6th, 2004. Then I guess he took the summer off, and we heard from him on 10/29. 2004. That was a good one. That was the one where they got to say he was for John Kerry. I don't even know what the hell he said. I don't care what he said. Because you know what they're going to say. And then he waited till after the election and he spoke to us on the 16th and the 27th of December. But after like all that time before the election, after not having heard from him, for 13 whole months, we heard from him four times in 2004 before the election. Gee, how convenient was that? Oh, my God. See, he's threatening to attack us again, and he's offering a truce, and, you know, the people want us out of I was going to say Vietnam. The people want us out. But if we get out and rebuild Afghanistan and Iraq, then he won't attack us. And that the plans are made, and that the reason that we haven't been attacked in America yet. Oh, maybe I didn't hear the word heartland. Maybe it was that he said homeland. Because I see now the link at Al Jazeera. It says homeland. Either maybe I misunderstood or, you know, I guess they were translating this. What happens? He says in like Arabic or whatever language he speaks. And they give it to Al Jazeera, so then they have to translate it into English. But then we get a copy. I guess they give us a copy. I know somebody who saw the Colin Farrell sex tape yesterday. You can get anything. And this person's reaction was, boy, he really needed rehab. So, and I didn't even say, oh, can you send me the link? Because I don't want to see it. But he said, we don't mind establishing a long-term truce between you and us. It's dated to December of last year. And he wants it. It was not my intention to talk to you about this, because the wars are going my way. But what triggered my desire to talk to you is the continuous, deliberate misinformation given by your President George Bush when it comes to polls made in your own home country, which revealed that the majority of your people are willing to, oh, God, this, you tell me Bush didn't write this tape. Tell me that they didn't make this tape. This is like the perfect, you see, John Murtha? You see Al Gore? You see anybody who says anything against the war? It's like just made for them. It's just made for them. It is absolutely unbelievable. All right, I guess a million people are calling. Yes, a million people are calling. So we will take this first break, and I'll see what you think. Okay? And I'll finish reading this thing on Al Jazeera. This is the best quote of all from this Osama tape. There is no problem in this solution. That's if we have a truce and, you know, rebuild everything. But it will prevent hundreds of billions from going to influential people and warlords in America. Those who supported Bush's electoral campaign. And from this, we can understand Bush and his gang's insistence on continuing the war. Can they throw this back at everybody? Oh, anybody who ever said Halliburton wasn't wonderful, it's your fault. It's your fault. Oh, my God, it's like just absolutely amazing. It's amazing. Charlie.
Hello.
What's up?
Oh, man, I just got Sirius Satellite Radio, and I heard your promos, and I thought that I would probably check your station out. You know, there are two voices I can't really stand to hear at all, and that's that southern twang that you hear from people down south, and the other one, is that New York Jewish accent?
Well, I'll tell you, then find some other channel. There's, what, how many channels do we have? 200? 120? I thought we had 200. Wow. Well, there's 119 other channels. I love Southern accents. The minute I said I was going to take calls, they all hung up. Everybody wanted to talk about Osama bin Laden. What, they want to talk to Garrett, I guess. Louise in Annapolis.
Hi, Lynn.
What's up?
Well, I just wanted to say not what that man said about accents. I just joined Sirius thanks to Howard. I found you last week, and I'm in love because I'm from Queens. When I hear your accents, I feel like I'm at home, and my husband comes home, and he says, why do you sound like you used to do 30 years ago? And it's because of you, and you are a breath of fresh air, and I just love you, and I rush home so I don't miss any of your
show. Oh, my goodness. Where in Queens are you from?
I'm from Little Neck.
Oh, my God. Well, I grew up. I live in Queens now.
Oh, you do?
But I grew up in Bayside.
Oh, that's where my brother lived.
Oh.
He went to Bayside High School.
So did I.
Yeah.
What year did he graduate?
What year? Well, I don't know. He's 3 years younger than I am. I'm 61, so he's 58.
Oh, well, I'm 63, so.
Okay, I graduated in 63 also.
Oh, okay.
But I went to Martin Van Buren High School.
Oh!
But I love you, Lynn. You are. When I go up to visit my mother, I would catch you when we were in New York, and I used to kick myself, why can't we get you here? Now, thanks, Howard, who I love dearly, you're not my next favorite talk show host.
Well, thank you so much.
So keep up the good work. Thank you for listening to me, and I will continue to listen to you. You got such great ideas, and you're so smart, and I agree with everything you say.
Thank you. Well, you're obviously smart, too. If you agree with everything I say, either you're very smart or you're like a whack job. One or the other. Okay. It's amazing. All the people who wanted to talk about Osama changed their mind. So I'll just listen to people tell me how great I am. John.
Lynn.
Hi, what's up?
How are you? I'm a new Sirius subscriber, Cousin Howard, like the previous caller, and I happened upon your show last week, and you fucking got me.
Well, thank you.
You got me.
You know, if I ever meet Howard, which oddly enough I haven't.
I'm sorry, that was my next question. Now, you have got to get on his show. You would be fucking great on that show.
You know what the problem is? I'll tell you something. I am not great. I'm great alone. I can't deal with other people. I just can't. I'm terrible on the air with other people.
I think that you guys would be great. I think he would love you. Absolutely love you. You never met him?
No, I've seen him around, but I've never met him. But after all these people emailing me and calling me and saying, oh, I found you because I got serious for Howard, I feel like if I ever meet him, I should just, like, throw myself and kiss his feet. Because it really is amazing. It is amazing. Oh, you know, all the people, all you guys who subscribed for him, I mean guys generically, not men.
Right, right.
Since there's so many women, too.
Oh, absolutely.
He's surprised at that. I bet even he is surprised the number of women that have subscribed to hear him, because I don't think anybody ever thought he had that many women listeners.
Well, my wife loves him. It's great. We talk about the show. It's great. I love it.
Oh, it's nice to have another man in common.
Lynn, I love you.
Thank you.
Take care.
And thank you for calling.
You bet.
Okay. Lou in Orlando.
Hey, I've called you before, union activist in Orlando, and I really like your show. And I did get serious because of Howard, but I'm really turned on to your show. I like your political slant, and screw those guys that called up from the South. We don't all like your show. Well, I live in the South, and believe me, some of these anal rednecks down here have every reason to vote Democratic, but they use the gun and the abortion issue, and they vote for the Republicans. And yeah, about factories, moving to China, but I still...
Well, that's that book. You must have read that book, What's the Matter with Kansas?
I'll look it up because it's
called What's the Matter with Kansas, and I can't remember the guy's first name. His last name is Frank or Franks, and that's what the whole book is about, how they get people to vote against their own self-interest by constantly bringing up these social issues.
The only hope I have now is that some of the evangelical churches, the progressive pastors, are getting the message that, you know, if all of our members are out of work, I don't have any 10% tithing at the end of the week. So,
yeah. Oh, I didn't think of that.
You know, so some of them are actually getting the light bulbs going off that, you know, a justice also means jobs. It's not just abortion or guns. And so it isn't happening quickly. But
well, it's also, wouldn't it be like being nice to the poor? Did Jesus say, like, kick the poor in the ass? I never heard Jesus say that not once.
Well, I missed the 60s, like the Berrigan brothers that protested Vietnam, Martin Luther King, who's religious, was a pastor, you know, a lot of the anti-war movement, aside from the college kids, was the religious side. And whatever happened to that voice?
They're still there. There's a magazine called Sojourners, and there are still left-wing Christians around.
I guess I'm sure there are. I guess my slant is the media doesn't cover them. You know, they love the Pat Robertson psychopaths that are, you know, the mouthpiece of the far right. When actually you have, you know, I mean, even the Catholic Church to a way is anti-war. You know, I mean, I'm not for the church in any stretch, but at least, you know, they at least talk the talk, you know, instead of, you know, glorifying war, which a lot of these evangelicals seem to do.
Yeah, but you notice, I love how if you say to somebody like Sean Hannity, who says he's such a big Catholic, you know, and yet he supports the war, and you say, well, the Pope was against the war, and he's like, well, I don't have to follow everything. Oh, okay. Thanks for calling, honey. Your phone is, like, starting to sound
okay,
weird.
Okay, thanks, Ben. Good show.
Okay, thank you. Somebody in Texas.
Sip.
Flip in Texas.
Sip. Hi, Lynn.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Great.
What's up? What's up?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I told my wife the day that 9/11 happened, I said, if tomorrow, if you don't hear about a bunch of big CEOs being in that building, sums up. The ones that normally would be there, if they're not there. And since 9/11, I haven't heard about any CEO, any this or that, terrorist in 9/11.
You know, that's interesting. I never thought of that. But you're right. All those people died, but like, what was that one company, that stock market company that so many people got killed? But the guy that owned the company wasn't there, was he?
Right, I'm telling you. The World Trade Center, there was all kind of big people left, CEOs, but nobody, you didn't hear about anybody perishing in 9/11. So that tells you some stuff. I never believed for one minute that I've been watching C-SPAN and then alternative news for the longest. And the one thing people knew about Bin Laden was he said what he meant. He meant what he said. And when he was asked, he said, I wasn't responsible for 9/11, but I applauded the people that did.
Yes, he did deny it. Although, didn't he later on, or is that their spin where they say he did take credit? But I remember him saying that he didn't do it.
He didn't do it. And everybody in the intelligence community and dealings with knew Bin Laden. He was a man. He said what he meant. If he did it, he said, I did it, and he will say why he did it.
Well, but we know who did it. Dick Cheney did it. Karl Rove did it. That's who did it.
Oh, it was something else I meant to talk to you about, but it slipped my mind. I was surprised to get on.
Okay. Well, I'm surprised anybody got on. I thought everybody wanted to talk about Osama bin Laden. Okay. Well, thanks, hon. Bye.
All right.
Okay. You can call again sometime. Mike in Boston.
Hello.
Hi. You're on, babe. You're on Sirius Left with Lynn.
Dave?
Who's Dave?
I said Mike.
Yes, you're Mike.
Okay, yeah, you said Dave. So you think that it was Dick Cheney who perpetrated 9/11?
I think it was the administration did it, of course.
Well, who bombed it in 92? Who was that, Clinton?
No, I think terrorists did that. We know.
Oh, okay, so if there's a Republican in office, it's the government, it's our government that did it, but if Clinton's in office, it's the terrorists, right? So he got all those Muslims to get on the plane that day and do that, right? Would they pay them? I mean, this is just...
Did you, like, see their bodies? How do you know?
One of the most ridiculous statements I've ever heard in my entire life.
No, it isn't. Did you ever see when they whispered in Bush's ear? Did he even look surprised?
Yeah, he did.
No, he did not to me. He didn't.
And what did they say to him, since you seem to know everything that goes on inside the White House?
They said, we're being attacked.
Right.
And he sat in that classroom. He sat there for...
He probably told him to stay there. He's the president. They didn't know what was going on. What's he supposed to do, run out and jump in his car and drive away? They probably had to make plans.
Well, that was after the second plane.
The Secret Service isn't going to let... They're going to secure the president first and foremost. That's
yes, and I would assume that would mean getting him out of a place that everybody knew he was in.
He was in there, but they have... When he goes anywhere, they have the place surrounded. And they have
how come a plane couldn't fly right over that school where he was sitting and drop a bomb right on it?
They didn't know he was there, probably. I mean, you asked.
Well, they did it.
Office for 7 months. You think that this whole plan came about in 7 months?
No, but I think that had
Al
Gore.
They knew they were going to win the election 7 months earlier, and then they planned this whole.
No. I think that had Al Gore been elected, this never would have happened.
Oh, of course not, because they wouldn't do that when there's a Democrat in office.
That's right. That's right. And are you?
Clinton was their best friend, and they did it when he was in office.
Clinton was their best friend. Whose best friend?
Anyone foreign.
Anyone foreign? What does that mean? He went to, like, too many Thai restaurants?
More nuclear secrets than they ever came up with.
Oh, that is not true. Oh, my God. What are you, how many hours a day do you listen to Fox News?
I mean, how did Dick Cheney do it? I want to know. You're coming out with these statements. How did he do it?
I don't know how he did it.
Oh, well, he just did it, right?
They planned it.
Oh, they did. If you're going to come up with this outrageous type of an argument, at least have some facts to base to back it up.
The first thing you need to do is you need to look up Project for the New American Century.
Okay, and look, that what's that going to be, another
okay.
left-wing?
No. Oh, no, indeed. That's the exact opposite. Project for the New American Century is a right-wing think tank.
All
and
right.
and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Michael and Dean, all these people that Bush put in the government, all work there. And they are the people who came up with the idea that we have to have this American empire, that we have to take over the world. And that America would never go along with this. You know, they knew that the people in this country, and they literally said in their paper that you will see that I do give them credit that they have left this up on the website, that what we need for their plan to go into effect, which includes invading Iraq, is a Pearl Harbor, a second Pearl Harbor, which just by some bizarre coincidence happened 9 months after Bush took office.
And you seriously believe that in 9 months they could come up with all this?
These were the people at PNAC who wrote a letter.
Did they also hire people around the world to jump for joy when it happened?
Well, yeah, I did. That has nothing to do with anything.
Yes, it does. These people hate us, and they hate us because we're America, and we've come so much farther in 200 years than they have in a million. They're still living in deserts and mud huts. They're still oppressing women.
Oh, Jesus. How many hours a day do you listen to Michael Savage?
Who?
Oh, yeah. Who?
Oh,
who?
Savage?
Yeah.
I thought you said Cabot.
And Howie Carr.
I don't listen to him.
Howie.
No, I listen to Jay Severin, actually, a little bit.
Oh, my God.
He's a genius.
Yeah, he's a genius. A sex maniac.
Hey, what's wrong with that?
Because he's married. He's like such a pig.
What does sex have to do with anything?
It has nothing to do with it, except when I think of Jay Severin, I never think of politics.
I heard you talking about Michael Savage drinks. What does that matter? You can't come up with any facts.
Well, you must be a new listener, because the truth...
You personally attack these people, because you can't come up with anything.
No, I find it...
People have no facts to back up anything.
God, just go read the Project for the New American Century, and then you explain to me how everything they wanted to do has magically come true after 9/11.
That you lost the presidency, you lost the...
We never lost... No, we didn't lose the...
People don't believe in what you people...
We didn't lose...
There's some of you out there. There's a lot of crazies out there, and there's a lot of crazy people on the right.
We didn't
most of you mainstream Americans don't believe any of the crap.
Well, because they can't bring themselves to believe the government would kill 3,000 Americans, you know, just to get their own way.
Right.
Well, I can believe it.
Because it didn't happen.
All right. Well, I think it did.
Well, okay. Well, I think it did.
Okay! And by the way, there is no...
What facts do you have? We have the 20 hijackers. We have video of them going onto the planes. You think those people who are devout Muslims that they've proven would actually go and help George Bush? That's what you're saying. They did it for the people on the planes.
Do you know that there are families of many of those alleged hijackers said that they were not, that wasn't their family member? What makes you think those were the hijackers?
Who was it? They get
who knows who it was? I don't know.
They have the video of Muhammad out there. It's a clear picture getting on the plane.
That doesn't mean he did anything on the plane.
Someone did. There were people on the phone saying...
Would you please tell somebody did?
Did you? Beamer, remember him?
Oh, please. Nobody knows what went on. That is like the biggest fake, phony, made-up, cracker-shit story.
They made phone calls to their families.
Have you ever tried to make us? I can't even hear you now.
That's because you're old.
No, that's because your cell phone sucks. So all of a sudden, everybody sitting on one of those planes was making these perfect cell phone calls when you can't do that down the block. Let me ask you something. You saw the rubble, right?
The reason they can't make phone calls a lot of the times is because they're too high up. Did you see how low they came into New York?
Oh, okay. Okay, and why can't I make a cell phone call?
Maybe your cell phone sucks.
Well, everybody's does. But remember the rubble at the World Trade Center? Remember those two buildings that collapsed?
Yeah.
And do you remember that, like, the second day, they said, oh, look at what we found. And they found a pristine, beautiful, legible, they found Mohammed Atta's passport.
Okay.
You tell me that you, oh, you believe that. You believe that in all that rubble.
They found a lot of things. Because
people incinerated. That one thing just happens to be lying there. Oh, please. You're so gullible.
I'm gullible. I hope you don't think the rest of the world is gullible to believe your story.
Well, I believe it. And there are, if you look up like 9/11 conspiracies.
Right? Did Bush blow up the USS Cole in the
No, he didn't.
Oh, he didn't know.
No, he didn't.
The only thing.
I'm telling you, go read this whole project for the New American Century.
1992 with Clinton, but Bush did it. Because he wanted to.
That was like a regular old fashioned truck bombing.
He was already president.
It was like an old fashioned bombing in 93. It was like the old truck bomb bullshit. This was like so spectacular. Sweetheart, I am going to have to do two breaks at the same time because of you.
Who are the people who are taking the crop dusting lessons and learning how to fly? And the other guy, that they caught, the 21st hijack, the 19th hijack.
Oh, please.
Who is he?
I haven't got the vaguest idea. They're all patsies. Sweetheart, I need to take a break.
Yes, you do. You need a long break.
You read Project...
You need a long break in a rubber room, honey.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you know a lot about rubbers. Thank you, dear. I'm Linda. That's my favorite call in ages. You like somebody who can, like, scream at you but still be good-natured. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left. Okay, now, Robert in Detroit.
Yes, Lynn.
Hi.
How are you? I love your show. I'm a conservative, but I would not call George Bush a conservative.
He's not a conservative. I was at a dinner Friday night with all conservatives. They hate him more than I do.
Exactly. He's not a conservative. He's not a Republican. And I like your philosophy. You know what? Republican or Democrat, if they're crooked or no good, throw them out.
Okay, but you say that they did that the FBI and CIA did
the first World Trade Center bombing. If you look at the court in the first news reports that came out of it when it went to trial, the CIA actually had a man in the operation and built the bomb for him. And at the last minute, they were supposed to disable the bomb and sting whoever the terrorists were, but they didn't do it. The FBI let them go ahead and bomb the Trade Center.
Oh, that was like what I think happened at Oklahoma City.
No, I'm talking about the...
No, I know, but I think that's what happened at Oklahoma City, too. I think it was a sting, and I don't think they let McVeigh do it. I think they just fucked up, and it happened.
Well, you know, they do it to get this legislation and everything passed, get everybody behind them.
Yeah, I must say, I never really did think that the government did the World Trade, the first one. But you may well be right. You may well be right. Thanks, son.
Thank you.
Bye. He may be right, because I think Oklahoma City, that's exactly, but there's a difference between them doing it deliberately and fucking up. Because Oklahoma City, I think they did have people, you know, from the government involved and was like a sting. And I think they just didn't stop him in time. You know, I don't see what even the purpose of that would have been, as a matter of fact. Greg in Las Vegas.
Hi, Lynn.
What's up?
I called about that guy you were arguing with a minute ago. Yeah, everybody keeps saying that Bush was only in office for 9 months when we got hit. I believe Clinton was only in office for 19 days when Towers got hit the first time, and Clinton assumed 100% responsibility for that.
Yes, that's true.
No?
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the first thing that Bush did was blame Clinton. I mean, they always want to attack Clinton, but at least, you know, he assumed responsibility. This guy still hasn't.
Well, how can he assume responsibility? How can he admit that he did it? See, to me, the one irrefutable fact is, I don't know why I've latched on to this, with all the millions of websites and the stuff Gorby Dahl has written, you know, that just has a direct line, you know, proving how they did it, is finding Mohammed Atta's passport. I will never get over that.
And there was another thing. He talked about the 20 bombers were Muslims. I believe the 18 of the 20 bombers were Saudis, weren't they?
Well, yeah, but they were probably Muslims. But they were from Saudi Arabia, which seems like a perfectly good reason to be invading Iraq.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, please. All right, I can hardly wait to watch television later and hear them blame this Osama tape on John Murtha and Al Gore, and me probably, and Air America. You know, it's all our fault, and yours too, Greg.
Okay. I'm sorry, Lena. My cell phone sucks, too. I'm losing you, but I love the show. Thanks for
talking. Okay, thank you. I could tell he couldn't hear a word I said from minute one. But those cell phones from those airplanes that day, those all worked perfectly. That's another thing. That's another thing. Lynn Samuel, Sirius Left, 136. Oh, did the person... What happened? The government was complicit. Somebody was calling upset from Jamestown, New York, and he was going to tell me how Bush did 9/11, because I don't know how they did it. And he hung up. Jennifer in Virginia, hi.
Lynn, I love you,
Thank you.
I love your voice.
Thank you.
And I'm so happy you're on the air. You make my day every afternoon.
Thank you.
Then my theory is not so much that our government planned this attack, but that they were complicit. And I go back with you to PNAC. I've been to their website numerous times. And to me, it was an act of letting this unfold.
Yes, that's possible, too. I mean, I'm torn between they did it. Or they just sat back and let it happen.
I think they sat back because to plot and plan, I think, gives them a little too much credit.
Yeah, that's true.
The fact, I do believe this country is threatened every day from different factions, and it happens all the time, and these threats are thwarted before they become a reality. But in this instance, this worked in the government's favor, this particular threat, so... Let's watch it unfold and sit back. And I think the timeline of not intercepting any of these flights.
Yes, and the fact that there was an exercise going on at the same time.
Exactly.
And the exercise was of people hijacking planes. And when the 9/11 Commission came out and you heard there were tapes of these, I guess, air traffic controllers. Mm-hmm. And they're going like, well, is this something real, or is this... And they didn't even know. They thought it was the ex... What kind of coincidence is that?
There is no coincidence, and there's no such thing as a coincidence.
Plus the fact, you know, that the July 7th bombing in the London subway?
Right.
Do you know they were carrying on an exercise of bombings in the London subway on that day as well?
No, this I did not know.
Yes, that was all over... They tried. It wasn't in the American press, but it was all over the British press.
You know, the sad fact is corruption exists everywhere, and we want to keep our head in the sands. And just like you said earlier, nobody wants to believe that we would let Americans die at the hand of terrorists. But if you turn on your TV every day, you see our troops being killed in Iraq. So if you choose to believe that we let our Americans go overseas to die, you should also be able to believe that we choose to let people on American soil die. It's all for the government's purpose, which, in effect, I think to the vast majority of Americans, it is evil. It is about greed. It is about ultimate power. And I do believe there was complicity.
I think you're brilliant.
I
think you're brilliant.
I think you're wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Are you very young? You sound very, very young.
I'm 34. Is that
Well, I'll tell you, that isn't that very young, but compared to me, it is.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll take that. I'm young.
Okay. You are young. You really are. Wait, someday you'll be 63, and you'll be sitting there, and you'll remember when I told you how young 34 was.
Exactly. And then I'll be as wise as you, and I'll be great.
Yeah, I think you'll be wiser, because I think you're way ahead of where I was in my 30s. I was too busy drinking. Thanks, hon. This hour is up. Okay, I will come back.
Christina.
I love that version. That version is just so great. They did a little montage last night on Idol. Of all the people that chose to sing Lady Marmalade, I probably should have played the real one, Patti LaBelle. But I like that one. What can I tell you? I'm just so hip. I'm so now. I'm so happy. So bored with Osama. him. Like, nobody was even really into talking about him. Why is he still alive, George? Why didn't you kill him? Wanted, dead or alive. Well, he said dead or alive. I guess he picked alive, right? He didn't say wanted dead. That's, you know, that's interesting when you think about that old saying. Wanted dead or alive. So I guess he wanted him alive, but doesn't that mean you're supposed to, like, catch him? So that you have him, he's not wandering around making tapes? Saying, George, I can read the polls as well as anybody. You think I'm like somebody in a cave? I can go to Zogby.com. And I'll be planning to attack. I liked when I thought it said Heartland. I wish it had kept saying Heartland. And I didn't misunderstand. And he said Homeland because I'm going good. They'll kill everybody in Kansas. I'm sorry. Nothing against Kansas, you know, but we had ours. In fact, we had it twice. You know, it's somebody else's turn, just not my Las Vegas, please. Not Las Vegas. I mean, it's hard enough. I'm sitting there, you know, April, I'll go away, and I'm saying, I read they opened some casinos in Biloxi. And I thought maybe I'll go to Biloxi, because I think, like, you should go down there, like, to the Gulf Coast and try to help them. And what better way than going to a casino and losing all your money? I'm the biggest help they could get. Because I never win. There's other people who should definitely not go there because they always win. But I should go. So, you can't go to Biloxi. There's not enough, hotels open. You know. And there's like basically the few casinos they open. What else is there to do? You don't want to only be in a place where there's just a casino and everything else is devastation. You know, you certainly don't want, I don't want to help them that much. So, and those are the big gambling places. They really are. All right, I have to get to the story. Actually, there's another story I'm about to post that's even more horrifying. But I had this story up on my website for like 5 days, not this version, where they won't even mention what he said. You know, the New York Post is the most despicable. They've got, you know, the columnist of the year attacking everybody on earth. They have Deborah Warren, who's not such a peach herself. But they finally got around to this Ricky Martin golden shower story. Ricky Martin gave an interview to, I believe, Blender Magazine. Which is not a children's magazine, it's a magazine. And he was talking about his sex life. And he apparently he may have actually said golden showers, or he just said something about it's so nice to do it in the shower. You know, because the water is the same temperature. Now, I, as is going to surprise many people, like everybody else, there are things that other people think are disgusting that I think, so what? So what? So he gives this interview. And then there's some segment of people. He has this children's charity, the Ricky Martin Foundation. And because he alluded or said in this interview that he likes that. Wait, golden showers, if you don't know. Does anybody not know other than my? It's like people pee on each other. So what? So what? You know, in India, there's a thing. It's supposed to be very healthy. You get up in the morning and, like, you pee in a cup first thing and drink it. Your own pee. So people like to pee on each other. It just to me is like one of those things like, yes, so. Now the other thing, you know, that's disgusting already. But peeing? I don't know. What's the big deal? Especially in a shower, what's the big deal? So So he says this. Now, Blender, how the hell many people even read Blender magazine? How many people even ever heard of it? I mean, I've heard of it, but I don't even know what kind of magazine. I guess it's a Golden Showers magazine. So people start saying that people shouldn't give money to his charity. Now, could somebody explain that to me? Like, what a charity that gives money to children would have to do with the fact that Ricky Martin, you know, doesn't mind if somebody pees on him in the shower. I don't get, but the New York Post is, like, so funny because to me this is, like, such a benign thing. In it, he talked, in the interview, he talked about how much he enjoyed an activity that repulses most people of every sexual orientation and can't be discussed in a family newspaper. Oh, really? Honey, if you can print Andrea Pies's columns, you could print anything. I can't believe that, how stupid that is. So that just goes to show you that I don't know. I don't think anybody thinks. I never met anybody who thought that was disgusting. Why is it that every day, that, you see this still to this day all the time. I hate this. You ever see these women walking around with their little children and some little boy has to pee and they let them pee like right in the street? I've seen women have their little kids peeing right outside of Macy's, and you just want to go up to them. And if you knew how to say it in Spanish, you would say to them, why don't you take the kid in the store to the men's room? So if, like, a little child can pee out on the street, why can't Ricky Martin pee on somebody in his own shower? That's what I say. Plus, he's so beautiful. He's so gorgeous and looked very nice on the beach with that other beautiful guy, even though he's straight. Just like Tom Cruise. Yes, he is. He absolutely is. So I had to, we just can't let that story fade away. You know, we just absolutely can't let that story die. And apparently nobody really is interested in Osama bin Laden anyway. And you will be happy to know, I have a lot of good stories on. Oh, they got sentenced, Mr. and Mrs. Chillyfinger. That's the big story of the day. They really got slammed. They really did. They just slammed their little fingers right, and they're going to slam that jailhouse door on those two. You know what it is why they got such long sentences? Her in particular, she should have gotten, I don't know why the husband got a longer sentence. Because he acquired the finger? Oh, see, that's a story for everybody. That's for everybody. But a little peeing on somebody, that you can't even say that. She got 9 years. And her husband, who received a 12-year, 4-month sentence for his Roland scam, which included buying the finger. But the thing is, she's the crazy person. She's the one, you know, she would never admit that she did it, first of all. Oh, no, oh, I found the finger. You know, she was the worst one of the two. She was definitely the one. They finally both apologized, and she's crying. Like, she's always crying. She was crying. She cried when she found the finger. She cried, you know, when they said it was not a real finger. You know, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, a Wendy's finger in her chili. The company lost millions of dollars. I don't know why. Did you skip one trip to Wendy's because of the chili finger? I didn't. I would even have gone to that Wendy's if I lived there. Because you figure, first of all, if they really, really found a finger in chili, can you imagine that particular restaurant, that would be the cleanest restaurant in the whole United States of America, wouldn't it? say that somebody really had cut their finger off, or even after the accusation. That must have been absolutely the cleanest restaurant on earth. You probably could have eaten, like, off the floor, the toilet seats in that restaurant. That would have been the restaurant to go to. It would never in a million years cross my mind, oh, let's not go to Wendy's because some lady found a finger in her chili in some other Wendy's. Jesus, people are idiots. And, oh, here's the other story I never got to that it's time to take down. You know how the New York Times now has made it that if you want to read Maureen Dowd, and who does, you know, or Bill Clinton, and I do, that you either have to buy the newspaper or you have to pay them money now to read the columnist online. Now, first of all, I always thought the columnists would object because this must have cut their readership 98% at least. Really? I mean, I'm not paying the New York Times. And for a while, truthout.org was running some of the columns, even though it was so totally illegal. And somebody must have told on them, because they don't do it anymore. The Times must have got after them. So I really would have hoped that the columnists would have said, no, you can't do that, because instead of, you notice, nobody discusses these Times columns anymore. They used to be a topic of discussion because you could go to the Times website and read everybody and discuss it. So now you have to pay, I don't know how much. I'm not even interested because I would never pay a penny. Do you know what they just did now? Now, let's assume that most of the people who read it probably buy the newspaper, I would assume. You know, since they've released numbers of how many people, it's called Times Select. But who believes them about anything, for Christ's sake? So people read the newspaper. And they used to put their email addresses down so that, you know, if you bought the paper on a newsstand, you read something Maureen Dowd had to say, you could email her. Well, now they've made it, you can only email them if you pay the New York Times. They've told all the papers that carry the columns to take the email addresses off. So the only way somebody can email a New York Times columnist now is if you paid online to read their columns. And then apparently you go to it, you know, to like email Maureen Dowd, and you have to make out like some kind of a form before you can send her an email. That's a good use of the internet. It's brilliant. You know, like the most open form of communication ever devised. And they're using it to close everything off. Fabulous. Brilliant. Just go on all the lists of why I try to never read the New York Times. Garrett was, people always do this, mocking me yesterday. Because our local news channel, in the morning, I don't know how many hours they do this in the morning. The guy, the anchor, like he reads the newspaper to you. And he says, oh, in this story in the Daily News and in the Post and in the Times, sometimes in the New York Sun. And I love it. And I especially love it because I know I'm going to read the Post and the News in real life, you know, in newspaper. But, you know, sometimes he'll say something and I'll check it out in the Times. Which is the only time I ever read anything in the Times. I can't stand the Times. And they're just, how can they not let you email people? Unless you pay them. I wish they'd go out of business. They suck. They are so right wing. Oh, I know nobody believes that. But they are. I have an even worse story. Let's see if I can find it again and post it before we come back. Oh, and it's Tabloid Thursday, too. I'm Lynn Set. We are, Teddy Kennedy's love child. Oh, my God. 21 years old. As if we really care. Okay. They're all, I mean, they're not, they're like good stories, but they're horrible. Does that make any sense? It's like a good news story, but it's just horrible. U.S. agency, U.S. agency, not like some foreigners, paints dire picture of out of control Iraq. It's the USAID. Says like, forget about it. You know, what a fucking mess over there. You could read that. That's my lead because, of course, how come we don't hear about this report in this country? Why is this out of a British paper? It's a story about a report from a United States government agency. And then we have, you know, Human Rights Watch. Now, what did I hear them call last night? They're a bunch of communists who hate America. Because they said the United States, you know, they come out every year with a report about the crappiest countries on human rights. And guess what? We torture people. And it's government policy. So this came up at the White House press conference yesterday. And somebody said, Scott, what about the human rights? Well, he says it's political. They have a political agenda. And the reporter said, what would be their political agenda? And Scott McClellan didn't know. But if you criticize the Bush administration, since they're perfect, then you obviously have a political agenda, unlike the Bush people who just, I don't know, magically floated into the White House and politics had nothing to do with it. So there's that story. Then, you know how they want to make you have like a card or a passport or something? If you just go to Canada, you know, this was about a year ago this came out, that starting in 2007, if you're an American citizen and you want to get, you know, say you live in Niagara Falls, you want to go see what it looks like on the other side, that you will need, and they won't let you come back into the country without a passport. So now they're saying, well, maybe you don't need a passport. Maybe we'll give you a little U.S.-Canada card or something. And you never know. We could put your fingerprints on it, put your DNA in it, said Michael Cherniff. But it's not. We'll make it maybe a driver's license as well. But don't call it a national ID card, even though you won't be able to go anywhere without it. So that's how they're going to get that one by us, because it'll happen. Nobody will pay any fucking attention. Okay, so we're torturing people. We're going to have a national ID card. Iraq is out of control in a dire manner. All over today, USA Today, and I don't know wherever I got this from, prices are rising and wages are falling. So your salary is worth less today than it was a year ago.
I hear there's rumors on the internet.
All over. So that's the great economy. You know, he's running around now and telling you the great economy. But that's something he can't lie about, you know? There is something you can't lie about the economy because people know in the aggregate how they're doing. And there was another horrible story yesterday. Did you see that story? 43% of new home buyers, I guess in the past year, didn't put any money down at all. I didn't. When I bought my apartment, which was only 5.5 years ago, I don't think they even let you do that. I thought you had to always put down like at least 10%, and that's lowballing. No, now you can buy an entire house, get a mortgage, don't put any money down. And, you know, good, I'll be able to buy your house for, you know, 10 cents on the dollar, I guess. So that was bad. Prices rise, wages fall. Osama plans new attacks. The White House, oh, this is great. I should have gotten sound from this. unless you have to TiVo this. It was news last week that they were going to check into how many times Jack Abramoff visited the White House and for what purpose. And, you know, whenever you go to, like, the White House, somebody takes your picture with the president. Well, I never had my picture taken with him. I wish I had. Why didn't I get my picture taken? Oh, because my thing was a picnic. That's why, because they didn't really let us in the White House. It was the press thing, and it was like, please, you people can come on my lawn, but you can't come on my house. So even though I did shake his hand and everything and look into his eyes, and he looked into my eyes, and it was such a great moment. Nobody ever took my picture. There were too many people. I was there. I have the Stephanopoulos picture, but, you know, he's not Bill. So they were going to look for how many times he came in the White House, Jack Abramoff. They were going to look for the pictures. Well, now they just won't talk about him. They won't. It's like, no, he was there for like some staff meetings. Staff meetings? Was Jack Abramoff on the staff? Well, he was a pioneer. He did raise over $100,000. And he was apparently on the transition team. And in the first 9 months that Bush was president, he was in the White House like 200 times, but Bush doesn't know anything about him, doesn't know who he is, never saw him. Maybe I saw him at a Hanukkah party. But now they won't talk about it. And Scott McClellan is saying, well, what kind of accusations are you insinuating? And I think it was David Gregory saying, I'm asking you, like, how many times he was here, and are there pictures? Yeah, and what are you insinuating? You America-hating sack of shit. You see, Osama bin Laden wouldn't be looking at the polls if not for people like David Gregory, who seems to be one of the few people in the press with a set of balls on him. And, oh, God, we really have to get into this. Oh, California has, this really is, I'm looking at these stories. You could go to my website. You'll commit suicide by the time you get down to the Chili Finger couple. You'll never get there because you'll have killed yourself already. This is so depressing. The federal government is now demanding data from Google. Oh, what a surprise. Oh, I'm surprised. I actually am. They want a federal judge. They went to a judge. Why don't you just take what you want? Oh, my God. I guess they don't really want it, you know, if they went to a judge and everything. They want Google to turn over how much? Google has refused to comply with a subpoena issued last year for the records, which include a request for 1 million random web addresses and records of all Google searches from any 1 week period. Now, why would they want this? Because a year ago, the United States Supreme Court struck down an internet child protection law. They said it was unconstitutional. And, you know how the Bush people are. They go, Constitution? We don't need no fucking Constitution. So they want to get all these Google records and prove that child pornography is like all the time just popping up on your computer without you asking for it. So that this law is not violating your First Amendment right, that it is, you know, this. I've never seen child pornography on my computer. Why would that be? Why would that be? And Garrett's going, no, he hasn't seen it. So it's not like it's just, and believe me, Garrett, I'm surprised you. Oh, well, should I say that? Garen has done deep research. He has researched to see how easy it is to, well, that was like after Oklahoma City. I sat where I worked and I said, you're going to fire me for this. And I typed in how to make a bomb to see how fast I could learn how to make a bomb. And not only did I learn in about 10 seconds how to make a bomb, I learned how to make more kinds of bombs, my favorite being the tennis ball bomb. But I guess anything you could stick gunpowder in, you can make a bomb out of. You know, you stick gunpowder or black powder, whatever it is, in a tennis ball and stick a wick in it. Bomb. But I thought, oh, my God, you're not allowed to look this up. But it was research. So Garrett, you know, who's so devoted, was researching. He couldn't even find it when you look for it. So Google, this real story, the interesting part of this Google story is not exactly this Google story that they won't turn it over. The more interesting part to me is buried somewhere down here, which says that other search engines, not named, it says down here somewhere, they just turned over what the government wanted. Google is fighting them in court. But who knows which search engines the government said, give us your records. And they said, oh, God, I wish I could have done it yesterday before you even asked. Show me a tushy so I can kiss it. Please don't regulate my industry. Here. Like the airlines did and lied about it. Like the Las Vegas hotels did and lied about it. You know, oh, God, we are so fucked. We are saying, you know something, I'm going to take a break and we'll come back and I'll go through the tabloids because I've got more terrible stuff. Every story is, and this is like the Osama story is like at the bottom. That's the least of our problems. Well, you know, until they attack us and we get blown up, then, you know. California is already with their flu pandemic program. And it's pretty much, I bet, what every state is going to have. And that's pretty sick. You know, if there's a flu epidemic, there's not going to be any food. Just think about what would happen. If, I don't know, what do they say, half the people are going to get the flu? Nobody's going to be working. So all the truck drivers that call us, they're all going to be sick. The guys running the electricity, they're going to be sick. The guys running, you know, the internet, they're going to be, there could be no internet. No food, no Subway. Could be very interesting. Very interesting, you know, and hey. When Bush decides to release that flu epidemic, I'll never believe there's real bird flu. I'll believe Bush did it. Maybe it is a little psychotic. Maybe my right-wing friend is right. Like anything that I think they manipulate the weather. So I think the hurricanes are his fault. I think they did 9/11. I think they tried. It really is true. He's like my devil. Anything that goes wrong. Well, he didn't do the subway strike. We know that. All right. I'm going to come back to the because we have Teddy Kennedy's 21-year-old love child. There's a hot piece of news, right? Oh, God. 21 years ago. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left 146.
Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146.
Okay. So the cover of the Inquirer has Ted Kennedy, 20-year cover-up exposed. Nobody cares. Bobby Brown is divorcing Whitney Houston, apparently because she's such a drug addict. Who turns her into a drug addict? Star Jones stomach stapling scandal. Not easy to say. And Natalie sold a sex slave. Oh, please. We have those beautiful pictures of Mariah Carey in that little tiny bathing suit, you know, like just covers the nipples on the top and the, you know, bush on the bottom. She's gorgeous. She's gorgeous. People think she's fat. Brad Spears over baby. Oh, screw the two of you. I hate you. Shelley Winters got married on her deathbed. Did she really? I certainly hope so. Her vicious daughter, who wants all her money, wouldn't let her marry this man that she's been with for so long and loved her so much. He was much younger than her. I know it sounds stupid. He was 59, but she was 85. So, this guy was apparently devoted to her, and that bitch daughter, like did nothing but trying to keep them apart so she could get all the money. Who's making a comeback? Ed McMahon. Oh, please, we didn't miss you. Okay, Bobby is divorced. Whitney Houston, I'm telling you, this woman is so finished. They say she has no voice left. She's a mess. David Hasselhoff, frozen out and back on booze. Oh, he looks terrible. Star Jones, who claims she didn't get her stomach stapled, was wandering around, not as thin as, you know, you have to cover your body up to look thin. Because she's in a bathing suit. She looks like a fat pig anyway. And they apparently can see the scars from the operation. She was disgusting fat, and she is disgusting. I hate her. I can't stand this woman. I don't know. They have all these pictures. They still have the brother of the guy in the mine disaster, you know, just really wants to point out how, you know, they just didn't follow safety regulations. So we have that picture again of that poor guy, you know, with all the crap in him. I do this all with my hands. So you can't tell. All right, who is this? Remember Julia Roberts' Hot Body and Pretty Woman? It was a body double. Okay. Who really cares? Does that? People must care about her. I'll tell you something. I don't care about Julia Roberts, but it was in the paper yesterday. She's going to do this Broadway show. And she sold $7 million worth of tickets already. I wouldn't like walk into the other room in my apartment to see Julia Roberts. As a matter of fact. All right, Ted Kennedy's love child. Big, apparently, some right-wing hosts love this story. It's just made for them. And here's a lady who lost 170 pounds, and then she gave birth to quintuplets. She didn't have to lose. If she would have just had the quintuplets, I'm sure having five kids, you'd probably lose 170 pounds just like that. These magazines are not what they used to be. Demi Moore's aunt died of lung cancer. So now, like, she's afraid she's going to get lung cancer because she smokes. And her aunt died of it. I don't like her either. I don't like any of these people. I only like Drew Barrymore and George Clooney and Matt Damon. But all these other people, are they ever going to have the Book of Daniel on again? Because I missed it. What was on? It was on the same time as something I wouldn't miss. Okay. So there's, I mean, they think, how many copies are you going to sell with Ted Kennedy's secret love child? And then one of the articles I saw about this says, either Kennedy or somebody in his family paid the woman, who's really cute looking. I guess this is a picture of her 20 years ago, but she's cute. She looks sort of, well, like me, only cute. I mean, like me a long time ago, but I think it's her a long time. That somebody paid her $15,000. But then they quote her as saying, I don't know, after I had this kid and we had the DNA test, I just always seemed to have money. She'd been living at home with her mother and suddenly she goes out and she buys like some fancy foreign car and gets a beautiful apartment. And she just always had money. Sophie took care of the kids, screw it. Oh, did you see that homeless girl on American Idol last night? Did you, one of the women, Now, I don't understand this. I forget her name. She was really a good singer, too, a black girl. And they say her... Oh, I forgot her name. How could I forget her name? Her name is Rochelle something. She had her whole family there. And each member of her family had a T-shirt with one letter of her name. And Rochelle is a long name. So they all the R-O-C-H-E-L-L-E people, they each had a blue T-shirt, and then whatever her last name is, which was a shorter name, they had white T-shirts. So here's her whole family supporting her. So then they do this little interview with her, and a lot of very young and very old people, it's very interesting. I think they raised the age now to 27. So there are a lot of 25 and 27-year-olds, and a lot of, like, 16-year-olds. And very few, like, 20, 21, 22. So she has all these people, but she says, oh, I really need to go to Hollywood because I have no home. I have nowhere to go. I got evicted from my place, and then I moved in with my cousin, and now we're about to get evicted. And I'm thinking she has all these people with her, with the Rochelle, and the there's not one person that has room for her? Like, she's going to be homeless with all the Rochelle people? But anyway, they sent her to Hollywood. She's very good. She's fabulous. All right. The Globe. Let's see if this is any better. Full House star lands in drug rehab. Jody Sweetin. I have no idea. Twins for Angelina and Brad. I can't even, I am so horrified by what I even think about those two people and this baby that I would never say it. The real Regis exposed. So cheap, he saves half cans of soda. Yeah. So? You never put a half a can of soda back in the refrigerator? You throw it out? Not me. I use the tea bag twice most of the time. Take the tea bag. Wears lifts in his shoes. And he fires the chauffeur for being seconds late. First of all, Regis lived through, I believe, the Depression. It's like in his mid-70s, late-70s. Of course he saves half cans of soda. Because he grew up when... you learn to save a half a can of soda. Diane Keaton. She's like the weirdest dressing woman. She just is. I love it. She like doesn't give a crap. All right, and guess what? We have another picture of Mariah Carey in that bathing suit that we all love so much. And who's got a little dog? Jake Gyllenhaal has the cutest little dog you ever saw. And you know what he's going to do to that dog? I'm not even going to tell you. But you know, if you're a regular listener. Oh, and there's Teddy Kennedy. And he's got a beautiful dog also. He has a standard-sized poodle. Dogs that are smarter than human beings. And here's a picture of Kurt Russell in his bathing trunks. And yes, he's getting fat. Sorry. And Oprah... Oprah and that book. That book. But then Oprah picked a new book. There's a whole new thing. Oh, here are all these pictures of Martha. At St. Barnes. Everybody was in St. Barnes, apparently. That's where Kurt Russell was hanging out. Yeah, she's smart, Martha, because her legs are still good. Now, she's my age, so I can comment on her, right? Her legs still look all right. My legs look like shit. But even though she lost weight, you know, at like, there's a certain age where nobody should ever see you in a bathing suit. So she's very smart because she's got like a T-shirt on. And all you can see are her legs, which is still good. I wish mine were. Oh, so Oprah picked Night by Elie Wiesel as her new book, which people think is a novel. But now Amazon and everybody's changing it to a memoir. All I know is that I am the only person on earth who doesn't like Elie Wiesel. Because my theory about Elie Wiesel is this man has been making his living off being in the Holocaust for the past 50, 60 years. And if the Holocaust had never happened, Elie Wiesel, what would you have done to make a living? Although I really resent it, and people revere and worship him, you know. But I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, you know, because I'm sure there's some Jew group that'll say, that's no way to talk about a Holocaust survivor. You know, so I have to get, how many papers are we going to get every day from every group, you know, telling me what I can and cannot say about any group? All right, I'll be right back. She's nobody. You'd think he'd be with somebody who was somebody, right? Not somebody who's nobody. I'm Lynn, we know what we're talking about. I'm Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left. Okay, so Charles Nelson Reilly nearly died of pneumonia, but he didn't. He's fine. And Oprah's neighbors are mad because she has five dogs, and her condo only allows each person to have one dog. But the people who run the condo said, excuse me, she has four units that she, like, knocked the walls down and made into one, so she really has four. So she's really only got one extra dog, and that she only ever has two dogs there at the same time anyway, okay? And it just says Angelina's going to have twins. Angelina's losing a lot of weight. And Chastity Bono lost 50 pounds, and she's still big and fat. So she better keep going. She promised Cher she would lose weight. Okay, Macaulay Culkin, DNA. Jacko is being brainwashed. And then they trash. I thought these magazines were like on Regis's side. So now they're trashing him. Did Beetle Paul bed Yoko? Ugh! Ugh! How disgusting. How disgusting. Then they have another article called J-Lo the Maneater. And then they have all the best-dressed people, the worst-dressed people. They're all the same people. And they actually, Suzanne Summers, that's a beautiful outfit. I don't know what their problem is. And they never like anybody who's old. Apparently, if you're old, you know, you're just, like, badly dressed. All right. I'm glad that nobody really cared that much about Osama bin Laden, you know, because the spin, keep your eye on the spin tonight. If we don't get bombed, I'll be back tomorrow. Thank you, Garrett. I'm Lynn Samuels. Good boy.